Am I pure evil? Am I the face of terror sitting here in front of you?
Today, federal prosecutors are expected to rest their case against Dylan Roof, 22-year-old accused of a massacre fueled by hate,
violence, and the death of 32-year-old Heather Heyer.
I am sorry.
You made your mind up on the 24th? You said in that church that you were going to kill Dr. Tillman?
Yes.
A firebomb attack on a Minnesota mosque.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail
the
victory!
The past 3 days, when I had the window upstairs, I felt a bit of shining city of my head.
Welcome to the Right Podcast. In the last episode, we discussed the early life of Jim Acheson, a man who would later go on to murder two and injure seven before quickly being subdued and prevented from harming more due to his right-wing political beliefs. Acheson was born in 1950 and lived his early life in Tennessee. He was adopted as a baby by the Acheson family, and not much stood out about him as a child. Jim was interested in the Boy Scouts and went on to marry immediately after graduating high school. This would be the first of many failed marriages that culminated with an order of protection filed by his last wife, Lisa, for whom he threatened to murder. As Acheson failed to secure consistent employment and his marriages fell apart, he became engrossed with right-wing media. Correlating with Acheson's radicalization was the rise of right-wing media on radio, television, and the internet. When police searched Acheson's house after his shooting spree at the Knoxville Unitarian Universalist Church, they found "Liberalism is a Mental Disorder," a book written by radio talk show host Michael Savage; "Let Freedom Ring," a book written by talk show host Sean Hannity; and "The O'Reilly Factor," a book written by television talk show host Bill O'Reilly. Let's take another quick listen to the type of content that these right-wing media figures were creating.
Because I want to talk about the birds and how the birds are the higher animals, and what we see going on in the cities are the lower animals. Do I have to say any more? And I see the animals in the city looting, beating up vendors in Washington Square Park in the name of pride. Did you see what happened in New York under this communist degenerate de Blasio? Have you seen what the liberals have done to New York City?
Many Americans, including this one, believe Barack Obama's emotional attachment to the Muslim world has hurt the USA. Barack Obama's father, who abandoned his family, was a Muslim who eventually turned atheist. Then his mother married another Muslim, moving young Barry to Indonesia, where he was exposed to the Islamic
Tonight,
world.
We have great news. According to my sources, everything that we have been revealing about the deep state for 2 years will very soon result in major serious ramifications. We're going to have a complete breakdown of all of this coming up.
And try to imagine what the world will become unless the lowest forms of humanity are not stopped very, very soon. Have a nice day, because I'm enjoying mine.
But we begin tonight, breaking news out of our Hannity Watch on the deep state. What we're about to show you, this is only the beginning. Buckle up. Thanks to a surprise move by one very brave House Republican, we now have damning evidence surrounding the corrupt, unethical, dishonest actions of so many deep state actors over the past 3 years.
That's not true. I do like white America.
No, I just did. You just said this is a one-sided nation. The whites dominate and they're racist and they make you feel bad. Is there a nation that is ruled by black people where you might do better that I don't know about?
You know? Don't abandon your children. Don't get pregnant at 14. Don't allow your neighborhoods to deteriorate into free fire zones. That's what the African-American community should have on their t-shirt.
Why is this all of a sudden a problem? Why is it that the races were moving together until this communist appeared in the White House? And now all of a sudden, all we hear is about grievance, 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 grievance.
Doesn't that give the socialists, the globalists, a problem? Isn't that their Achilles heel?
No, because Obama gutted all of the combat veterans who could have led a movement against an illegitimate government. He started it right after Benghazi.
The question becomes, why did Acheson turn his hatred of liberals fueled by right-wing media into a killing spree? The answer is most likely complicated, but in any way that it is composed must include the notion that he felt he was following orders. The shows that Acheson listened to and watched did not provide disclaimers or present themselves as hyperbolic entertainment. They are not presenting as roast-style comedy or even simple opinion for that matter. Instead, the media content that Acheson was consuming painted a dark and dire situation, one in which a tangible enemy had taken up cause of the U.S.'s former foe, communism, and a new foe, radical Islam. Show after show questioning the newly elected Barack Obama's allegiances to the United States, his family history, and conspiracies ranging from connections to William Ayers, a member of the Weather Underground protests of the 1960s, Jeremiah Wright, a retired senior pastor for Trinity United Church of Christ in Chicago, to more traditional fodder, such as the Antichrist and one world government scenarios steeped in anti-Semitism. While these accusations and conspiracies were often contradictory and based in illogical narratives, the point remained that there was an enemy on American soil, and that enemy was liberals. Taking this at face value, what else was there for a Vietnam veteran to do but take action? These right-wing media narratives were directly articulated in Acheson's manifesto. We will read Acheson's manifesto and listen to it compared to the language of the right-wing media he so loved. Warning: the following content includes racist, homophobic, and violent language. Discretion is advised. I guess you're wondering why I did this. Well, let me explain in detail. Over the years, I've had some good jobs, but I always got laid off. Now I'm 58 years old and I can't get a decent job. I'm told I'm overqualified, which is a code word for too damned old. Like I'm expected to age gracefully into poverty. No thanks, I am done. I've always wondered why I was put on this earth. For years I thought I was put here to die as cannon fodder in Vietnam, but somehow cheated the devil out of it. Lately, I've been feeling helpless in our war on terrorism, but I realized I could engage the terrorist allies here in America, the best allies they've got, the Democrats. The Democrats have done everything they can do to tie our hands in this war on terror. They're all a bunch of traitors. They want America to lose this war for reasons I cannot understand. It makes me so mad. In a parallel train of thought, it saddens me to think back on all the bad things that liberalism has done to this country. The worst problem America faces today is liberalism. They have dumbed down education. Liberals have attacked every major institution that made America great, from the Boy Scouts to the military, from education to religion. The major news outlets have become the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party. Liberals are evil. They embrace the tenets of Karl Marx. They are Marxist, socialist, communists. The Unitarian Universalist Church. Don't let the word church mislead you. This isn't a church, it's a cult. They don't even believe in God. They worship the God of secularism. These sick people aren't liberals, they are ultra-liberals. This is a collection of sickos, weirdos, and homos. The Unitarian Universalist Church is the fountainhead, the veritable wellspring of anti-American organizations like MoveOn.org, Code Pink, and other un-American groups. Those people are absolute hypocrites. They embrace every pervert that comes down the pike. But if they find out that you're a conservative, they absolutely hate you. I know, I experienced it. I can't for the life of me understand why those people would embrace Marxism like they do. I'd like someone to do an exposé on this church. It's a den of un-American vipers. They call themselves progressive. How is a white woman having a N-word baby progressive? How is a man sticking his expletive up another man's expletive progress? It's an abomination. It takes a warped mind to hate America, and it makes me so angry, I can't live with it anymore. This was a hate crime. I hate the damn left-wing liberals. There is a vast left-wing conspiracy in this country, and these liberals are working together to attack every decent and honorable institution in the nation, trying to turn this country into a communist state. Shame on them. This was a political protest. I'm protesting the liberal Supreme Court justices for giving the terrorists at Gitmo constitutional rights. I'm protesting the major news outlets, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, PBS, for being the propaganda wing of the Democrat Party. It's criminal what they're getting away with. They are traitors, and they must be stopped. I'm protesting the DNC running such a radical leftist candidate, Osama Hussein Obama Yo Mama. No experience, no brains, a joke, dangerous to America. He looks like Curious George. This was a symbolic killing. Who I wanted to kill was every Democrat in the Senate and the House, the 100 people in Bernard Goldberg's book. I'd like to kill everyone in the mainstream media, but I knew these people were inaccessible to me. I couldn't get to the generals and high-ranking officers of the Marxist movement, so I went after the foot soldiers, the chicken expletive liberals that vote in these traitorous people. Someone had to get the ball rolling. I volunteered. I hope others do the same. It's the only way we can rid America of its cancerous pestilence. In conclusion, no one gets out of this world alive, so I've chosen to skip the bad years of poverty. I know my life is going downhill fast from here. The future looks bleak. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I am absolutely fed up. So I thought I would do something good for this country. Kill Democrats till the cops kill me. If decent, patriotic Americans could vote three times in every election, we could stem this tide of liberalism that's destroying America. Liberals are a pest, like termites. Millions of them. Each little bite contributes to the downfall of this great nation. The only way we can rid ourselves of this evil is kill them in the streets. Kill them where they gather. I'd like to encourage other like-minded people to do what I have done. If life ain't worth living anymore, don't just kill yourself. Do something for your country before you go. Go kill liberals. Tell the cop that killed me that I said thanks. I needed that. I have no next of kin, no living relatives. If you would take my sorry carcass to the body farm, or donate it to science, or just throw me in the Tennessee River. Sincerely, Jim David Atkison. It's a lot to take in and very disturbing, but also very important. Grievances laid out by Atkison are the stuff of right-wing populism. It's clear that Atkison had financial problems. It's clear Atkison had problems with employment. It's clear he felt that the world was passing him by and that he was left out. It's clear that he felt as if he had reached a breaking point. The narrative sounds very much like someone suffering from depression and a sense of hopelessness. We know Atkinson had a history of alcohol abuse and a series of failed marriages, which could only have contributed to it all. However, many people worldwide suffer from mental illness and substance abuse. It is an understatement to say that most of these people do not shoot others because of it, especially based on political beliefs. And to blame murder upon potential mental illness is not just to misunderstand mental illness, but to slander the many people who manage it successfully on a daily basis. I am sure that you've heard this before on other true crime style shows. Atkinson was well aware of what he was doing and was in full mental and physical capacity. This is why he did not choose to seek an insanity plea at his trial. He chose to kill people, and he did. According to the manifesto, Democrats were the allies of terrorists. In the clips we heard previously, Bill O'Reilly went in depth discussing Barack Obama's Muslim heritage and how this made him an outsider to America. Given the context of attacks on 9/11 from Al-Qaeda and wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the link is not hard to see. Apparently, America was at war against Islamic terrorism, and the Democratic president, the person of color, was tied to Islam. Atkinson, a veteran, said that he felt helpless on the war on terror and viewed Democrats as terrorist allies. This was echoed by rhetoric from broadcasters such as Michael Savage. Fox News shows were pumping up this narrative on a nightly basis to their far-reaching viewership. And comment sections on the internet, along with sites, were providing a ground for like-minded people to congregate and air their grievances. Atkinson went on to call liberals Marxists and socialist communists, something all of the before mentioned commentators have stated in one way or another in the past. Some still do to this day. This commentary must have been especially agitating to Atkinson, who fought against Viet Cong soldiers, who he believed advocated for a type of communism in Vietnam. He was also of a generation that grew up with constant anti-Soviet Cold War propaganda and fears of nuclear war. These traumatizing life lessons and experiences made rhetoric regarding Democrats a tangible reality that struck upon deeply held beliefs, fears, anxieties, and values. It's no wonder right-wing media used such metaphor, analogy, and narrative given their demographic viewership. Atkinson also attacked the media as being an arm of the Democratic Party, who are supposedly terrorist sympathizers, communists, etc. Given the presence of mass media in our everyday lives, this must have been seen as a constant affront and source of agitation to Atkinson. In general, Atkinson echoed claims made by all of the right-wing media personalities mentioned before, that there is a left-wing conspiracy and that it had to be stopped. Again, if this rhetoric were accepted as truth and not just entertainment, who would not act? What kind of person would just allow this to happen while doing nothing but listening to right-wing media describe the ongoing and progressive destruction of the United States? Then came the racism and the homophobia. But we also learned why Atkinson targeted the church. It might seem odd for a right-wing murderer to target a Christian church. In this case, there are a few insights into why Atkinson chose it. The first is that his most recent ex-wife had attended the church. Now, there's no documentation stating that it played into Atkinson's choice of targets in terms of a revenge narrative, but it did tie him to the location. Secondly, as Akeson stated in his manifesto, he viewed the church as a church in name only. Because the church was multicultural and accepted members of the LGBTQ plus community, Akeson viewed it as just another liberal entity and therefore a threat. Lastly, access. Akeson stated he targeted who he did because it is who he had direct access to. He knew the church location and layout from his former wife's involvement. In other words, this plan was actionable. Now, let's transition to the events leading up to and including the shooting. July 27th, 2008 was a day that Akeson decided he had had enough. He woke up that morning and prepared to execute his plan to kill as many so-called liberals as he could for the good of the country, as told to him by right-wing media, before dying by suicide by cop. Akeson hid a 12-gauge sawed-off Remington shotgun in his guitar case for transport. He was known to be a talented guitar player, so it was not out of character to be carrying a guitar case. He planned on opening the guitar case and then shooting. Shooting and shooting and shooting until police arrived. It's not clear if Akeson was aware, but there was a children's play occurring at the Unitarian Universalist Church that morning. The church was filled that day as parents and other parishioners watched children perform the musical Annie. In fact, Jamie Parkey, an eyewitness, believed the first gunshot blast to have been part of the church play that his daughter was participating in.
To my left, and the gunman was standing right outside the quiet room. I could see him right through the window. Firing into the congregation.
This loud boom happened, and we, you know, it sounded like a gunshot, but we figured it was a mic, and people were smiling and laughing, thinking it was a mess up.
The first victim was Greg McKendry. McKendry moved in front of others to shield them from gunfire, being shot to death in the process. Greg McKendry was a very large gentleman. He did obviously stand up and put himself in between the shooter and the congregation, Sheriff Chadwick told reporters. McKendry died from his wounds at the scene. He was 60 years old. McKendry was a foster parent to one of the children performing that morning. Taylor, the then child in McKendry's foster care, said, "He was a hero in so many different ways. Greg was the first man I could ever call my father. He would fix people's problems without even being asked. And he would have tried to help this man, Jim Akeson." Jim Akeson killed the man who would have tried the hardest to help him. Linda Krager was the other murder victim. Krager, 61, was an author, scholar, and retired professor. Linda succumbed to her injuries later at the University of Tennessee Medical Center. Linda was in attendance that day to watch a fellow parishioner's six-year-old daughter perform in the play. There were other injuries that occurred as well, such as Jack Barnhart, 69, Linda Chavez, 41, Tammy Summers, and Joe Barnhart, 76. While Akeson injured others, he did not fulfill his goal of continuing to shoot until police arrived. Instead, the congregation acted bravely and quickly to subdue Akeson and restrain him. Akeson didn't get the violent fantasy of shooting congregant member after congregant member, nor the suicide by cop that he wanted. Olivia Spooner was another child performing that day. She was among the oldest and quickly turned it from performer to protector after hearing the shots. She organized the younger children and moved them away from the violence. Spooner went on to write an essay on the shooting that won a nationwide writing contest sponsored by her denomination. Charlotte Kleeman was a deacon at a neighboring church that became a safe haven for the fleeing children. She said of one of the children, "The child was so distraught and screaming, and he was dressed in a costume for the play. He said, 'They are shooting. They're going to kill my dad.'" Jamie Parkey crawled under the pews with his daughter and mother when the second and third shots were fired. He saw several men rush the suspect. "I jumped up to join them. When I got there, they were already wrestling with him. The gun was in the air. Somebody grabbed the gun and we just kind of dogpiled him to the floor. I knew a police suppression hold and I sat on him until police came," he told AP Television News. "It was all over in a matter of minutes. Police arrived on the scene and arrested Atkinson." Atkinson was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder and 2 counts of felony murder in the deaths of the 2 congregants at the Knoxville church. He also was charged with 6 counts of attempted first-degree murder. In court papers, prosecutors called Atkinson's crime an act of terrorism. Atkinson pled guilty to charges in order to avoid the death penalty. During the trial, Atkinson exhibited repugnant behavior. When he first came out into the courtroom, he had a look of sheer evil. He really did. Evil as well as arrogance, the church music director, Vicki Masters, told CNN affiliate WVLT-TV. And he sat down after he looked around, and then he used his third finger, his middle finger, to scratch the back of his head with an air of arrogance and just pure evil. "Those are the only words I can use to describe what I saw."
"In case number 89802, sir, are you guilty as charged in count 1 to first degree murder of Gregory McKinney?"
"Here is charged."
"In count 3, are you guilty as charged to first degree murder of Linda Crager?"
"Here is charged."
"In count 5, are you guilty as charged to attempted first degree murder of Joe Barnhart?"
"Here is charged."
"In count 6, are you guilty as charged to attempted first degree murder of Jack Barnhart?"
"Here is charged."
"In count 7, are you guilty as charged to attempted first degree murder of Betty Barnhart?"
"Here is charged."
"In count 8, are you guilty as charged to attempted first degree murder of Linda Shives?"
"Here is charged."
"In count 9, are you guilty as charged to attempted first degree murder of Tammy Sonny?"
"Here is charged."
If anyone could have helped this man who hated Democrats and was on food stamps to get his life together, it was the man that he brutally murdered at the door.
I came here today looking for a kind of justice for over 100 children who were in that sanctuary that morning. And I would like to thank District Attorney, Attorney General Leslie Nacios for bringing us a little bit of that justice today for those children.
In the mind, in a troubled and bitter and evil mind, hate speech can lead to violent action. And I think people who are decent citizens need to tell the sponsors who profit from hate speech that we need to cut down on the hate speech that's broadcast.
John Bosted, one of the congregate members who restrained Atkinson until police arrived, said, "I'm sickened that he shows no signs of remorse." It was confirmed that Atkinson told police he targeted church due to its liberal teachings. Atkinson also told police that he believed all liberals should be killed. When asked during the trial if he had anything to say, providing an opportunity for forgiveness or regret, Atkinson simply stated, "No, ma'am." I have nothing to say. A Daily News article aptly described Acheson by saying, in retrospect, Acheson was a prototype of newly emboldened racist white men. While this is the end of the story for Acheson, there is, of course, much, much more. Because of this, there will be a bonus episode that will examine how the Unitarian Universalist Church of Knoxville has commemorated the tragedy and what, if anything, has been learned regarding right-wing rhetoric that fueled these murders. That and more next time on The Right Podcast.
Hi. Elliot Rogers.
Carol, Illinois' White Rabbit militia boss should face the terror enhancement, according to federal prosecutors, for leading a team of domestic terrorists in a firebomb attack on a Minnesota mosque.
Tonight, there is breaking news from Kansas, where federal officials say they've broken up a right-wing militia plot to blow up a mosque and a Muslim apartment complex.
Hail Except Trump! Hail our people! Hail
the
victory!
The past 3 days, when I looked at that window upstairs, I thought a bit of a shining city upon a hill. The phrase comes from John Winthrop, who wrote it to describe the America he imagined. What he imagined was important because he was an early pilgrim, an early freedom man. He journeyed here on what today we call a little wooden boat. And like the other pilgrims, he was looking for a home.